It's time to hear from the Green Party with co-leader James Shaw.
This week, as I said, was my last week of the year speaking with James Shaw as he's headed off to Poland for the 24th Conference of the Parties for the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change, where negotiations will take place for the rule book for the Paris Agreement. We also discussed the most recent Colmar-Brunton poll in which the Green Party has dropped from 7% to 5%. And finally, we talked briefly about what the Green Party's thoughts are on our Worry Week topic, which is militarisation of the Pacific. Here is James Shaw.
Yeah, so the actual conference has just kicked off with officials today, I think. And so they're going to spend this week trying to get this, what we call the Paris rulebook, into shape. And then next week, ministers from around the world will be gathering to kind of make some of the key decisions. So the output of this year's conference, we hope, and intend, is what we call the Paris rulebook, which is how we intend as a planet, I guess, as a community of nations, to do what we said we would do in Paris.
Could you just tell me a little bit more about how these discussions will go down? Like, what is sort of the, I don't know how to explain it, what is sort of the framework of everybody meeting together and talking about it?
Yeah, so the nature, I mean, it changes each year, but the nature of this year's conference is that because we're trying to get this rule book over the line, it's got different chapters that relate to different topics. So, for example, things like, what are the rules around how we report what we're doing to bring down our emissions? What are the rules around how we report what we're doing to support developing countries to make the transition? What are the rules around how we plan to adapt to the effects of climate change? You know, those sort of things. And mostly it's just about kind of it's almost like trying to create an accounting system for all of the countries in the world, because we've made this kind of commitment to try and reduce our emissions and adapt to the effects of climate change and direct financial flows towards that transition and so on. But we never said how we intend to do that. And so each of those kind of topics, if you like, has got a negotiations stream. Basically, to the maximum extent possible, countries try and ensure that they've got a representative in each of those rooms working through those topics. Small countries with small delegations have to pick the issues that are most important to them. And the way that we kind of get around the fact that you can't be everywhere all the time is that countries have these sort of clubs, if you like, of like-minded countries. And so to sort of try and form positions as groups. And then, you know, there's a lot of the negotiation actually happens between those groups of countries.
So there's sort of a crossover between different... Is that sort of the idea that you sort of form like a subgroup?
Yeah. So you get together with countries that you think have got a roughly similar position to you on that topic. And then you kind of rely on, you know, one or two of those countries representing that view in a room, while you're representing their view in another room. So it is frankly a mind-bogglingly complex set of negotiations, and there are hundreds and hundreds of people involved. It's quite extraordinary and quite clunky, if you like. But it's not the way I would design it, but you know, it is a system that has evolved over decades in terms of how international negotiations between countries go.
Sort of going back to numbers, how many people are we talking about? How many representatives approximately are going to be there discussing these issues?
Well, you know, I actually don't know what the numbers are for the negotiations. It would have to number in the low thousands, I think. That's right.
It's a lot of people, yeah.
It is a lot of people. And the thing is, though, that there is a parallel conference that goes on as well, which is more like a trade fair, where you've got all the NGOs and the business groups and, you know, academics and so on, who are kind of, you know, swapping ideas and information and, you know, maybe exchange, you know, doing business with each other and all of that kind of stuff. The total size of this conference is in the vicinity of 30,000 people. So it's a massive event, right? So it's a really huge event. And it's pretty much this big every year. Not so much because of the number of negotiators who go, but the kind of, you know, the other stuff that happens on the parallel event.
Could you just briefly explain what you hope to get out of COP24, out of this conference?
Yeah, sure. Well, there's two things, right? One of which is that from the negotiations, I hope and the New Zealand team is really committed to ensuring that we do have this Paris rulebook. You know, we've actually got to get started. And a number of the commitments that we've got for the year 2020 rely on us having this rulebook in place. So it is a significant conference in that sense. The other thing is that we're actually taking over quite a large delegation for the parallel conference. So we've got a lot of people from the agricultural sector in particular, and we've got a pavilion for a couple of days, and we're going to be running a whole series of events around sustainable agriculture and trying to sort of both showcase where New Zealand has some expertise in the hope that other people will adopt some of those practices to reduce their own on-farm emissions, and also hope to learn from what other countries are doing as well.
So we'll just move on to the Colmar Brunton poll just briefly. In the most recent poll, the National Party has overtaken Labour with 46% and the Green Party has fallen from 7% to 5%. What do you think this drop reflects? Is this something that the Green Party is concerned about?
No, we're not, for a couple of reasons, one of which is that, you know, it's another 2 years until the next general election, and a lot can happens between now and then. I do take opinion polls as a sort of interim feedback, if you like, so that, you know, you do have to ask yourself the question, well, what are we doing right, or what are we not doing as well as we might be doing? But the other reason is that the changes in this poll, between this poll and the last poll, are within the margin of error. And so that statistically, you know, 1 or 2 points in any given direction is hardly worth talking about. And I guess the main thing is, if you look at the trend over time, and it's difficult because there are so few opinion polls out there these days, but if you look at the trend over time, things are basically tracking along steadily since the election. And so in that sense, I don't think there's any great cause for alarm.
And I was just going to say there that, you said before that it is quite early in the electoral term. So is the government as a whole concerned about, I suppose, losing a few points of support this early?
No, we're not. I think, you know, like I said, the movement isn't statistically meaningful. And so it doesn't really tell us anything that we didn't already know. The thing that I think that was kind of interesting about this one is it asked about, one of the other questions isn't just about which party would you back, but actually, do you think the country's going in the right direction or the wrong direction? And they always do that one as well. And the trend there is actually upwards. So more people are now saying that they think that the country is headed in the right direction than in the wrong direction. And that's a reversal from sort of about 6 months ago. And I think that we're seeing that in other surveys as well, like business confidence surveys, consumer confidence surveys and so on. And so I think that there's an increasing sense that the country is going in the right direction.
And just finally, moving on to our Worry Week topic. So this week on The Wire, our Worry Week topic is militarisation of the Pacific. I was just wondering whether you could explain what the Green Party's opinion is on this topic.
Well, we are, appropriately for Worry of the Week, we are worried about it. The Pacific Islands are some of the most vulnerable nations in the world. And so now kind of caught between, you know, the emerging power of China and the existing power of the United States, and with other countries like Russia and so on becoming increasingly assertive, it is, I think, of real concern. And if you look at the Cold War, sort of after World War II and up till about 1990, you know, Europe was where a lot of that kind of interplay between the great powers played out. And what I'm really worried about is the idea that kind of sort of situation could start to emerge in the Pacific with a group of island nations that just don't have the capacity to be able to sort of resist that, and they could find themselves kind of overwhelmed, not you know, necessarily in a military conflict, because I think that's highly unlikely, in, at least in the sort of coming years, but more that they, you know, kind of find themselves increasingly indebted to one or other or more of those great powers who are frankly not sentimental and not interested in the kind of best interests of those island nations.
What sort of like pull does the New Zealand government have in that sense with those greater powers? Does the New Zealand government have any power to stop greater powers like the US and China getting involved with the Pacific?
No, we don't. No, we don't have the power to stop anyone from getting involved. But I think that we do have an ability, you know, based on our historical ties, to help try to influence it. And so, for example, we're working with China on some of their aid programs to sort of say, look, you know, if you're going to be doing aid work in the Pacific, these are things that we've discussed. You know, I mean, we had a pretty terrible record for a while. We've discovered some things that work better and some things that don't, and so on. So, and also to work with the islands themselves, and to sort of say, well, you know, as you're kind of taking on these relationships in an increasing manner, here are some things that you might want to, you know, think about. So we don't kind of begrudge anyone the idea that there's increasing interest in aid going into the Pacific. I think that's a good thing. And we just want to make sure that it gets deployed for the right purposes and that it actually serves the best interests of the island.
That was James Shaw for the Green Party. The Wire.